Penguin Random House Canada presents Out of Darkness, Romana Manzoor's Journey Through Betrayal, Tyranny, and Abuse by Denise Chong. Read for you by the author. For Anushe. Prologue. A blur of sound nibbled at her consciousness. Machine beeps, alarms, and hisses. Voices fading in and out. Then, unmistakably, drawers sliding open and closed. Paper packages being ripped open. Water splashing. Paper towels rustling. She could hear. That must mean she was still alive. A specialist from ophthalmology, Dr. Niaz Rahman, accompanied by a junior doctor, made his way to the intensive care unit. He'd been the day before to see the patient, but the bleeding and swelling of her eyes had made any examination impossible. Romana, can you open your eyes? No? Can you see any light? No. I need to see inside your eyes. The specialist dampened a gauze pad with saline and reached down to clean the patient's eyelids of encrusted blood. She screamed and jerked back into her pillow. He was puzzled. He thought he'd barely made contact. Forgo the cleaning, he decided. Just get a look inside. With his ophthalmoscope in one hand, he reached again with the other. This time, her scream was chilling. Tears gushed from her eyes as if from a burst pipe. Neither the specialist nor the junior doctor spoke. She wanted to know.
What happened to my eyes?
More tests are needed. Out of earshot of the patient, the specialist spoke to the junior doctor. Any pooling of blood inside the globe of the eye does not normally cause pain. The damage has to be extensive. What with the many road accidents and Dhaka's chaotic traffic, he'd seen horrific injuries. Once, a metal rod that split the globe of the eye. He knew vision could return after trauma, but this was the worst. Never had he seen a gouging. Silence enveloped Romana after her transfer to a private room. Finally, a heavy clunk of what sounded like a door handle. Then, a rush of air into the room and the footfall of a purposeful walk. A metal tinkling, then footsteps in the opposite direction and the same tinkling and swoosh of air. Drapes being drawn, open or closed.
Are you the nurse? Can you tell me, is it morning?
A cheerful male voice confirmed yes. Romana felt a stab of panic. Why couldn't she see the daylight? With every new visitor to her bedside, Romana heard anew the sharp intake of breath and the stifled tears and felt the tremor of their hands on hers. She did not have to ask how she looked. She'd heard the MRI technicians talking to each other. What could have happened? Was she attacked by a wild animal? 1 week on, a morning nurse burst in. Her words fairly tripped over each other.
Romana, your picture is all over the news. There are pictures of you with your daughter. You were so beautiful.
Romana plunged into sorrow. Would anyone even recognize her now? What if she didn't recover her sight? She'd never see her daughter's face again. Anushe was only 5 years old. What if his face, contorted with evil, was the last thing she ever saw of the world? Romana forced herself to turn away from the memory of the attack. She put her mind to doing what, as a student and a teacher, she knew how to do best. Pose a question, answer it with research. Try, she told herself, to locate the beginning of the trail that led to the attack. But where did the trail start? With her agreement to marry? Or when she first indulged his attentions? Or were there clues deeper in the past?
1. Satellite imagery on Sunday, November the 8th, 1970, picked up a tropical depression centered over the warm waters of the Bay of Bengal. A day later, it strengthened to the intensity of a storm while continuing a slow drift north toward the coast of East Pakistan. On Tuesday, meteorologists classified the swirling cloud mass as a cyclone. Every year, an average of 5 cyclones funnel into the Bay of Bengal. Late on the afternoon of Wednesday, November the 11th, the winds rapidly intensified. Heavy, lashing rains began. For the 3 million who lived on the islands and tidal flats, there was no higher ground. That evening, East Pakistan's Storm Warning Center broadcast its highest alert. Moha Bipad Shanket, great danger coming, was hardly sufficient. At midnight, coinciding with an above-average lunar high tide, winds reaching 240 kilometers an hour slammed into the coast. Storm surges as high as 9 meters bludgeoned villages and swallowed islands. On Friday, handicapped by downed communication lines, the news in the capital, Dhaka, more than 240 kilometers inland, reported mild damage. By evening, the estimate was as many as 50 lives lost. In the morning, it rose to tens of thousands dead. On Sunday, talk was of a death toll in the hundreds of thousands. The international community rallied, but the military government of Pakistan in Islamabad in the west, and separated from East Pakistan by 1,600 kilometers of Indian territory, did not mobilize the army to the stricken areas until the 10th day after the cyclone struck. By then, the landscape was an apocalyptic scene of suffering and death. Still, less than 1 month on from the cyclone, Pakistan went ahead with a scheduled general election. Anticipation was high for the first election since 1947, when partition had dissolved the British Raj and hived off areas of Muslim majority from India to create the independent state of Pakistan. Partition landed 2 strangers in the same house. Urdu-speaking Punjabis lived in the province of West Pakistan, Bangla-speaking Bengalis in the province of East Pakistan. Voters in the East went to the polls angry. To Bengalis, the ruling Punjabis' callous indifference to the plight of cyclone victims mirrored the subjugation of the East since partition. The final tally gave the Awami League of East Pakistan a majority of seats in the planned National Assembly. However, neither it nor its rival party in West Pakistan won seats in the other's province. Loath to be governed by Bengalis, the leader of the rival Pakistan People's Party vowed to break the legs of any of his elected members who took their seats. For weeks, the president of Pakistan dithered on convening the assembly. In protest, people in East Pakistan took to the streets, only to be met by police gunfire. With tensions already running high, the Awami League leader, the fatherly Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, known affectionately as Mujib, gave a fiery speech on March 7 at the Dhaka racecourse to a crowd 2 million strong, more than the city's population. He exhorted Bengalis to set their sights on self-determination. The only question? How much Bengali blood would have to be spilled to birth the nation of Bangladesh? 18 days later, on the night of March the 25th, the military government of Pakistan responded. In a ruthless attack codenamed Operation Searchlight, the Pakistan Army arrested Mujib and summarily executed members of the Awami League and hundreds of Dhaka's intellectuals, targeting, in particular, teachers and students at Dhaka University. Hours later, a clandestine rural radio station calling itself
Sample complete. Ready to continue?